The Peer Advantage Podcast, episode 5007. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at the Peer Advantage Podcast. You can find the show notes of the useful resources at the website, growgreat.com. Today, it's chapter 5. We're doing a chapter-by-chapter audio summary of a book by Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari entitled The Power of Peers. And today, it's chapter 5, and chapter 5 is entitled Create a Safe Space. Today's episode is brought to you by The Peer Advantage, peer advisory groups by my company, Bula Network. The Peer Advantage is a group of just 7 small to medium business owners from around the United States who come together regularly by way of an online video conferencing platform. So it's virtual, it's convenient, it's easy, it's cost effective. You can go to thepeeradvantage.com to find out more, or you can email me at randycantrell@bula.network.com. This chapter, chapter 5, it begins with the story of 2 sons, some brothers, and they have agreed to a 10-year buyout of the family business from their father. And they pay off that debt. Not in 10 years, but in 5 years. Problem is, Dad is still hanging around. Dad's still drawing a salary. Dad is still basically running the show, and Dad is, he's pitting one brother against the other, and he's dragging things out because it's really clear he is not ready to go, despite the agreement. Well, the tension between all of them is negatively impacting not just the business, but the family. Now, who can these brothers, who can these sons go talk with? Where can they go to have a safe, private, confidential conversation about this difficulty? Well, they need to handle this problem because if they don't, not only is their business liable to implode or explode, but so is the family. But the level of trust involved for that kind of dialogue that they need to have, I mean, it requires an environment where everybody can be completely vulnerable and yet completely safe. In environments that afford us that kind of safety, rare. Non-existent for far too many of us. Well, for these brothers, the safe environment of their peer advisory group gave them the support and the encouragement that they needed. One of the brothers was in a group, and obviously he collaborated with his brother about what the group had said, and with the help of their group and with the encouragement from their group, they were able to confront their father. And when they did, well, he blew up. But a week goes by and he realizes they're completely right. Once he calms down and he comes to himself, he realizes they're right. He just was afraid to let go. And so he steps away from the business and eases all this family tension and gives the sons the freedom to do what they need to do to grow the business. And, you know, in the next 24 months, they nearly triple the sales. Fighting off caveman mentality. Vulnerability in caveman days equaled weakness. And that could result in death. And so for many people, being vulnerable is not a good thing. Brené Brown, author of the book Daring Greatly, she talks about the myth of vulnerability. One myth is that vulnerability is weakness. And during her research, she would ask subjects to finish this sentence. Vulnerability is blank. And some sample responses that she got included starting a business, having faith, admitting to being afraid of something. She says vulnerability under that kind, I mean, it sounds like the truth, and it feels like courage. Well, that's because it really is. It's about being courageous and telling the truth. Now, sadly, too many people regard sharing a messy problem, not knowing the answer to a question, or demonstrating a lack of competence in some particular discipline. All of those seem like signs of weakness. And so people fear that they'll be judged, or we fear we'll be ridiculed. But members of a peer advisory group have to learn and understand that they can be vulnerable. And they can be vulnerable without any fear of dying or being judged. Beyond overcoming our fear of being judged, there's another hurdle, though. There's another challenge the authors point out in this book to creating a safe environment. There are very few safe places in our society for true vulnerability. I mean, we live in a day and age in this connected society in which we live of constant, almost instant judgment. I'm inserting here from my own opinion. You can see people who leave Instagram, who leave Twitter, who leave YouTube because of the negativity of the trolls. Just all of this judgment coming down the pipe. And it makes a lot of people shut down and kind of go underground or go off the radar. This is especially true for CEOs and business owners. Letting your guard down is tough because it requires you to consider that this new environment, that is the peer advisory group setting, it's different. It's very different from anything that you have ever experienced before. You may believe when you join such a group that the members, they're asking you to trust first, and then you'll get trust in return. The good news is it's just the opposite. Because it's likely during the very first meeting that somebody's going to share a personal story, and you're quickly going to realize they've never shared that before. This is the first time they've ever said this out loud. So the group is ahead of you. And as the authors say, the water is fine. Group norms. Well, after building trust, people can have faith in the sincerity and in the depth of other members' caring. And that's what allows members to effectively challenge each other to grow. If you're a judger instead of a learner, it's not likely you're going to feel comfortable in such a group. Learners, people anxious to always learn, are ideally suited to benefit from participating in a peer advisory group. Judgers, they're not. All members of the group must comply with the group norms. I mean, there's a consensus that confidentiality, that's critical, and that's very key. And a dedicated onboarding is essential for exercising your vulnerability muscles. So the authors talk about the value of onboarding. They interview dozens of peer advisory group leaders to discover the shared best practices for onboarding new members. And the first and most important step is to engage the members as equal. New members feel welcomed as equal partners, and now they understand that they're part of a group that values them and cares about their personal and their professional growth. Now, additionally, the new member typically gets a written profile on each of the other members before the very first meeting. And these profiles tend to offer more details about the group members than what might have been shared with the new member before they joined. Every member, they'll take a few minutes during the first meeting to talk about who they are, how long they've been in the group, the biggest value that they are getting from the group. And group members are also encouraged to reach out to new members outside of the group meeting. And members are often asked to share stories about their lives and to identify any weaknesses they may have. The objective here is to inspire questions and invite dialogue. And that creates open conversation where members can feel free to share anything they'd like. Now, as a side note here, let me interject on my own, separate and apart from the book. The value of onboarding is obviously different when a new member is being onboarded into an existing group as opposed to the construction of brand new groups. Here at Bula Network, I am constructing two groups, an AM group and a PM group. Tentatively, a group that will meet in the mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time, and another group that will meet in an afternoon day from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, these are brand new groups. I've got a number of people who are interested. I've got a few people who are already verbally committed as I'm working to construct these groups. So what's onboarding going to look like? Well, these are going to be two brand new groups, and the groups themselves will determine the culture and the norms and the way it's going to go. I, as the leader, and there'll be more discussed about this in the next chapter, in the next episode of the podcast, which talks about utilizing a smart guide, I'll be facilitating that and ensuring that we're all on the same page. So the onboarding is really critical. Whether you're onboarding a brand new member or whether you're beginning a new group and everybody getting on the same page, it still is about vulnerability, and it is about trust, and it is about confidentiality. So let's get back to the book and the chapter. To have safety, you have to build trust. Jim Kouzes, author of The Leadership Challenge, says that if you want to build trust, everybody needs to feel the same level of vulnerability. And one way to accomplish that, says Jim, is through self-disclosure. When members share who they are, where they came from, and go back as far into their childhood as they might like, the group learns about who they are as people, and it fosters others to share more about themselves. So when we divulge these high points and these low points of our lives, members learn, you know, we're not so different from each other, and that creates more trust. Vulnerability is rewarded. Scott Deitz is head cheese, that's his real title, at a company called Three Blind Mice Window Covering in San Diego. And he was experiencing gangbuster sales. And in 2006, he was recognized as the second fastest growing business in the region by the San Diego Business Journal. That's when he joined a peer advisory group, because despite his success, he believed joining a group would expose him to people who could help him get his business to a whole new level. 2006. Now, the recession hit, right? 2008, 9, 10. That impacted Scott's business big time. He suffered a 34% decrease in sales, another 34% increase in sales, and another 20-some-odd percent decrease in sales. So he was sinking. He was sinking. He went from a $5.5 million company to a $1.2 million company in the span of just 3 years during the recession. And he admitted to the group, I'm drowning here. And he asked his group members if he ought to file for bankruptcy. I mean, should I just pull the plug? Well, the group went further than just giving him some feedback. One of the members invited Scott to operate out of a space that he and his wife had available free of charge for 6 months. And the second 6 months, you can have it for $500 a month. And that means after year one, then we'll raise the rate to whatever market rates are. Well, Scott was already paying $8,000 a month. So he took him up on the offer, and he went from paying $8,000 a month to zero. And that allowed him to get his business back on track. Today, happy to report, so the authors say, business is stronger than ever. The group was there for him as he worked his way back. Go ahead and ask Scott what the value of that group is to him. I can pretty much guarantee you he'll say, well, priceless. Priceless. Helped save his company. Helped save his business. Safety inspires openness. Scott's problems caused him to open up, not to shut down. And that made the difference. That made the difference in getting the help that he needed from the group. Issues do not have sides. They have dimensions that go beyond the facts. And so when members like Scott open up, there's greater clarity about the issue. And the group can help each member get to the root of their problem. The dangers of missteps. Members make mistakes. And that's why the group and its leader need to try to avoid missteps. An example of a misstep would be a member being disrespectful in response to comments from another member. And that can cause the disrespected member now to shut down and not share in the future, but it can also serve to put other members on guard. And if that misstep is not addressed immediately, the group dynamic can be forever damaged. And repeated acts of that kind of disrespect to others in the group, it would necessitate a dismissal of that member from the group. Here's the point. No single member is more important than the group. The author's research revealed that such dismissals, really rare. Because members of a peer advisory group, they tend to understand and comply with group culture and group norms. Well, a single misstep doesn't necessarily have to spoil the group. And that is evidenced in the book by a story told by Jim Kouzes, who talks about his colleague and co-author, Barry Posner. Barry was leading a workshop where he was getting people to do the trust fall exercise. You know that exercise where you fall back and somebody catches you. Well, in 30 years of doing that, they'd never seen anybody get hurt because people tend to do what they're supposed to do. Well, one day a participant asked Barry, Professor Posner, why don't you do the trust fall? Well, he'd done it many times before. And so he told him, well, I've done it many times before. And instead of doing, you know, falling over, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay on the ground underneath and I'll take a picture of everybody as they fall. So everybody will have a photograph I'll take of them falling and being caught. Now he warned the catchers, if you fail to catch this person, they're going to fall right on top of me. And everybody agreed it was a great idea. So Barry gets down on the ground, aims his camera up at the person standing on this stepladder. And this stepladder is 3 or 4 feet off the ground. The participant fell over backward. For some reason, the catcher didn't catch. And the person lands right on top of Barry. Well, the person who fell, they weren't hurt, but Barry, he lost his breath for a moment. Well, of course, everybody was shocked, and everybody rushed around to make sure everybody was, is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? Later, Barry learned that he'd cracked a few ribs. Well, the folks in the crowd told him, well, we bet you won't ever do that again. He thought for a minute, and then Barry said something really profound. He said, actually, I will. I think this has taught us something very important. There really are just two rules when it comes to trust. Rule number one is you have to keep working on trust and never take it for granted. Rule number two is sometimes trust breaks down. And so you have to go back and see rule number one. The summary, write the authors, is that being vulnerable is liberating. It's liberating. If you want to get everything that you can out of a peer advisory group, frankly, if you want to get anything out of any relationship, you have to regard vulnerability as a strength, not a weakness. According to author Brené Brown, vulnerability is the birthplace of innovation, creativity, and change. And I might add to that on my own, by change, she means growth. Well, that's it for Chapter 5. Chapter 6 is going to cover the third of the 5 factors of peer advantage, and that is the role of the group leader and why an effective leader is the linchpin of peer advantage. And that chapter is entitled Utilize a Smart Guide. I don't know if it'll be for the next episode, but for one of these episodes, I'm going to bring Leo here on the show. I'm going to bring Leo Battari, co-author of this book that we're going through, The Power of Peers, subtitled How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership, Growth, and Success. I probably should have given you a disclaimer by now. I did on the very first of this series. I am producer for Leo Battari's podcast, Year of the Peer, and I would highly recommend that you go check it out. Some terrific interviews with some great people. Just this week, we released the interview with Tim Sanders, rock star in the education space, Angela Myers. She will be on next week on the Year of the Peer. You can find out more by going to yearofthepeer.com. I would encourage you to subscribe to that podcast. These are video and audio interviews. They're really conversations that Leo has with people. And the tagline to that podcast is who you surround yourself with matters. So that's my disclosure. I have a bias, obviously. I'm highly in favor of the peer advantage, and it's why we have pivoted and rebranded Bula Network LLC to become a peer advantage company serving small to medium business owners. Again, if you have interest in that, you can visit thepeeradvantage.com. That's it. That's it. Today is July the 7th, 2017. It's Friday. And Lord willing, I will talk to you next week with Chapter 6. Enjoy and greetings from inside the Yellow Studio.